Welcome to the SearchSQLServer.com podcast on log shipping. Our speaker is Eric Johnson. Eric is a co-founder of Consortial Services and the primary database technologies consultant. He has delivered numerous SQL Server training classes and webcasts, as well as presentations at national technology conferences. He has presented at Tech Mentor on SQL Server 2005 replication, reporting services, and integration services. He is an active member of the SQL Server community, serving as the president of the Colorado Springs SQL Server Users Group. Okay, Eric, so can you start by defining log shipping?
Log shipping is really nothing more, its most basic level, than a backup of a primary database and a restore to a different server that you want to be your secondary. So really what it is you take a full backup of your database, you copy that backup file to a second server, and you restore it. But you restore it in a way that allows you to continue to restore transaction log backups. Then you continue to take transaction log backups on your primary database, and as those backups are taken, you copy them, you actually copy the physical file from the primary to that secondary server, and then that transaction log backup is restored to the secondary database. When that restore is done again, it is left in a mode that allows it to continue to take transaction log restores. So to keep the two databases in sync, it's now just a series of back up the transaction log on the primary server, copy it to the secondary server, and then restore it. So SQL Server has given us some tools within their within the servers that allow us to set this up without having to manually configure the backups and the restores and all that stuff. It's just done for us using the tools that are provided. But at its most basic, that's all it is. It's backups and restores of a primary server to a secondary server.
And how is log shipping set up?
To set it up, I had mentioned the tools. It's all done through SQL Server Management Studio. Before you actually go and configure it, the first thing you'll need to do is create some file shares on the secondary and the primary server that allows those files to be copied back and forth. Once those file shares are set up, you go into the SQL Server Management Studio, find the database that you want to set up for log shipping, and it's just a property of that database. You configure it, you get a short little wizard which will ask you what database you want to log ship, the name of the secondary server, the name of the database on the secondary server, and it asks you for those share names that you set up before. And then it creates a series of SQL Server jobs for you to handle the backups, the copies, and the restores, as well as one or two jobs that help monitor the entire solution to make sure that the transaction logs are being applied on whatever interval you specify. One note with those file shares, since those have to be created ahead of time, and there's no built-in tool for that, you have to make sure that whatever account your jobs are running under that ultimately get created, your SQL agent job, or if you use a proxy account, whatever Windows account has access to those file shares, or the entire thing will fail. So it's a common mistake. You as an administrator have access to those shares, but the service account may or may not. So make sure that it does have access to those shares prior to setting it up. But then after that, it's all done through the GUI, through the SQL Server Management Studio.
Okay, now, how do you fail over to the standby server?
In order to fail over with a log shipping setup, really what you have to do is go to the standby server, and this is a manual process, and bring that database online. So you can either restore the last transaction log that's available and tell it to recover the database afterward, or you can just recover that database from the point where it exists right now. Once that's done, that database can now be read, and clients can now connect to that server. The other piece that you need to make sure is on that secondary server, and hopefully you took this into account when you set up your log shipping. Log shipping was a database-specific technology, not at the server level. So anything else like logons or jobs, you would have had to create packages or some sort of a script to move those logons over manually. So anything that you did along those lines, you'll also have to bring those things back online. So if there's a script you need to run to restore logons or to get jobs back online or anything like that, or any other files you need to restore from tape or something else that maybe the SQL Server relies on that was on its hard drive, you'll have to do that as well. But once that's done, the secondary server should be at a point in time that is identical to when the failure, or very close to when the failure occurred on your primary server.
Can you use the standby server for anything besides failover?
With a log shipping setup, by default, that secondary database is in a recovering mode. And a database that's in a recovering mode can't be accessed. So by default, no, you can't access that database. However, you can change one setting and tell the database on the secondary server, you can change the setting that tells the database on the secondary server to be in a standby mode. And when the database is in a standby mode, it is actually available in a read-only copy. So clients could connect to that secondary server and read data, and it'll be just as current as your production database was as of the last transaction backup and restore. Now, the problem with that is that the data is only read-only, so they can't do anything as far as writing if there's a need for that. But the real problem is when you go to restore your next transaction log that's going to be happening periodically, users cannot be connected to that secondary database. They have to be kicked out. So you cannot perform a restore when users are in there. So if you're doing something like log shipping every 15 minutes, which is quite common when you're trying to have it this be for high availability, you obviously don't want to log ship every 6 hours, because then if the primary fails, your secondary server could be 6 hours behind. So the problem is they can read, but if you're restoring every 15 minutes, they're going to get kicked out every 15 minutes. So that isn't real conducive to running queries or reports off that server.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have seen scenarios, and I've set this up before, and this works, where you can continue to take your log backups every 15 minutes, continue to copy them over to your secondary server, and you have to do a little manual tweaking, but you can configure the job that does the restores to only run, say, once every 6, 12, 24 hours, whatever period you want. So the transaction log backups are still taken every 15 minutes. They're still sent to the secondary server, and they're still there in case of a failover. You can go in, restore them all, and bring the server back up. But it allows you to extend that window so users could read that database for a longer period of time before they're kicked out.
Can you log ship to more than one secondary server?
Absolutely. Since, again, log shipping is just backup and restores and copying those backup files, you can have those backup files copied to as many servers as you want. So you could have multiple failover servers in the event that you have an unexpected failure on, say, both your primary and one of your failover boxes. And more commonly, what you'll see done is you could have two servers, one where you're restoring those transaction logs every 15 minutes, and you're keeping that database offline so users aren't reading it, so it's ready to go in the event of a failure. And then you can have a second server, let's say you're still taking the backups every 15 minutes and copying to that box, but you're only restoring on that machine once every 12 hours so that server can actually have a read-only copy of the database that users can access. And it also gives you that second failover option where you just have to restore all those logs manually and bring the database back online. So that allows you to set up both a high availability and a reporting environment and give you multiple failover boxes, because there's nothing worse than having your primary fail only to realize that your secondary server also has a failure or has a failure shortly after before your primary server can be repaired. So by log shipping to multiple boxes, you can protect yourself in that situation and provide an extra resource that users can access to get information without putting any load on your primary server.
Okay, well, that's all I have for questions. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.